Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 20 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Carmen Mapuwani, those Investec results, market loved, Massmart update, market did not. Andreas van Heerden from Afrimat, there's new acquisitions, they are just working. And then some thoughts from me, the recent sell-off, it's not that bad on average, I suppose it depends where you stand in it. This show is brought to you by Stanlip. Visit stanlip.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlip Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb: Spa to You, a test run of Spa's on-demand delivery service. By reports, it's not anything special, but it does certainly at least put them in the game. Table stakes, as the article says. Business Day, the governor signals more ahead after biggest rate jump in 6 years. 50-point increase to 4.75 came despite the bank reducing its growth forecast for 2022 to just 1.7%. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.6, NASDAQ off 0.4%. Asia, however, is green this morning. We've got Sydney up 1%, Tokyo up 1.2%. Commodities overnight were red, gold $1,845, Brent $110.07 a barrel, platinum $948, palladium $2,002 a ounce. Rand 1588. Top 40 opening call. You're looking for 900 points to the upside. That's a little over 1.25%. That as Tencent trades up 1.8% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Carmen Mapuwani, Absa Asset Management. Carmen, appreciate the early morning time. I suppose let's start with the Massmart sales update. Macro, not bad. Builders, I suppose it's the DIY boom is fading. Game still struggling. Cost pressures coming through. A tough period for the company.
Definitely, but it's both worrying, I think, on the one, because we saw the Stats SA numbers in terms of general merchandise, so you would have expected that to come through in Massmart in terms of durables. And specifically because durables account for about 49% of group revenue in FY21. So it's worrying because we had been waiting for a turnaround, but the turnaround seems to be going a lot slower than market had hoped. And there's definitely been a lot of pressure for them on the back of the unrest and the impact that that has had on the group as well.
In defense of Massmart, turnarounds are slow. We had Pick and Pay earlier this week, and I remember when Richard Brasher first arrived, and after about a year or two, I was saying, oh, this isn't happening. Truth is, it happened. It just took a lot longer.
No, absolutely. And maybe the problem, I think, I would hazard a guess, is to say that, you know, maybe they need to speak to market a little bit more so they can get a little bit more insight into it. I know sometimes more information doesn't help these stocks, but, you know, I had the opportunity to speak with Pick and Pay management this week for the first time since the pandemic started face-to-face. And it's just a different perspective when you can actually see, and it's more tangible, what the turnaround strategy is and that you get insight into what management is thinking. That makes a world of difference.
I take your point on that. It absolutely does. Investec results, I was looking, share is at all-time highs. There's not a lot outside of the commodity space at those sort of all-time highs. It really was a strong set of numbers. Market really did like it.
No, definitely. So, albeit that it is covered quite thinly on the ground in South Africa, they did beat consensus. So I think that was the first positive. So revenue up 21% at least. And they still have a strong revenue outlook as well, which obviously bodes well for the stock. I mean, where do you get numbers like 90.7% adjusted EPS up? That is just phenomenal. And similarly on the ROE, you know, they've guided that albeit that they've had a significant improvement, they're still targeting between 12 to 16%. So, as you've said, you know, unfortunately it came out on a day that the market was just being pummeled, but a very, very strong result for Investec.
Does it make them, because, and not to be disparaging to them, you know, when we talk banks in South Africa, we talk top four, top five, we kind of usually leave Investec out of that. And I think we're missing something there. I mean, is this a bank that should be on investors' radars? I think very strongly, and maybe we should talk a top six rather than a top four or five.
I think because of the client base and obviously the model, it's very, very different to the other bankers. It's like, you know, trying to compare a Woolworths offering to a Pepco offering. They're in complete different spheres, and, you know, maybe a smaller customer base potential than the others. But as you've mentioned, they're at all-time highs, so how could you not try to have a look at them? You can't just ignore them.
Yeah, I tell you what, the CEOs of the other four banks just got a surprise when you called them Pepco, but I take your point on that. MPC yesterday, 0.5% was expected. Consumer continuing to be pressured. We've got fuel, we've got big increases coming in June, we've got GDP coming down. It was a tough speech from the governor.
No, it was definitely one that, first of all, not a surprise. I don't think many people were surprised by the increase. Mm-hmm. But, it remained very, very hawkish. The governor did emphasize that he can't understand how the market can view a 50 bps hike as aggressive, specifically in the current inflation environment. So I think we will continue to see a lot of caution, keeping in mind that we remain in negative real interest rate territory. So I think once we get to the level where real interest rates are going to positive territory, we may see some sort of leveling out. Mm. But he has guided that by the end of the year, we should see 5.25% with more hikes into next year. So it's all depending on inflation and obviously our outlook for growth as well. But as we well know, you know, volatility has been reigning number one. Mm. Uncertainty is just so high.
Yeah, and he made the point in the Q&A session. He's a great governor, a great Q&A. He says it's about protecting consumer income from inflation. And I agree with him 100%. Can't disagree with that. Carmen Rapowani, Absa Asset Management, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
I'm chatting with Andreas van Heerden, CEO of Afrimat. Some results to year-end February. Revenue up 26.7%. Operating profit margin 23.7%. Headline earnings 22.9% higher. Dividend of 146. Here's a fun fact. The full-year dividend is around 86. And you could have bought the share for less in the 2008 crisis. Andreas, appreciate the time today. A lot of the results presentation earlier, a lot of talk around iron ore and a lot of perception that you are an iron ore company. You're a lot more than that, and I take that point. But the question is, how much of your revenue these days is US dollar denominated?
I don't have that exact number in front of me, but it's probably about 25% if I took a quick guess of our revenues US dollar dominated.
Okay. I want to drill into some of the operations. Jenkins, relatively new, it's practically paid for itself during this period under review. And you're saying actually still got potentially more upside to it.
Yeah, we have an agreement with our customer to buy. They during the first year of operation, they bought 50,000 tons a month from us, mm-hmm. and contractually we should now ramp up to 100,000 tons a month. And as soon as that kicks in, then you know this business should do should do even better.
Moving on to Nkomati, which is the anthracite, you know, for the full year, I remember chatting at half year, it wasn't yet fully profitable, but at this point, it is now up operating and generating profits.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, we bought it out of business rescue, and the mine was in a really dire state when we bought it. It took us almost a year to turn it around, and it started making profits last year in August, and it's been consistently profitable since then. And at the moment, we are spending a bit of capital to open up more mining area and opening up an underground operation. When all of that is done, this business should do really, really well.
Glenover as well, I mean, basically there you're mining stockpiles. The trend across all of these more recent acquisitions, and in truth acquisitions even over the last years before that, you've gone in, you've got it working, but you've managed to improve efficiencies, make them, frankly, a better, a more productive and ultimately more profitable mine.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we try to do. So what we try to find is these assets with a really good underlying competitive advantage, and then we just go in there and try and keep things simple and make sure we do the right things right and try to get these things efficient. And yeah, so far it's worked well for us.
I mean, in a sense, I mean, you say keeping it simple. I mean, these are open costs. I mean, this is almost, and I'm probably wrong because I'm not the engineer here, but you know, you started life in quarrying, and this is kind of taking quarrying to a slightly different angle where you've now got bulk commodities and the like you're pulling out the ground rather than just aggregate.
Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, the whole evolution in our company's core skills. We, as you rightly say, you know, we started off in quarrying, and when the construction industry started going into more difficult times in around about 2010, we started using that skill and added a little bit. And every time, you know, when you added a little bit more complexity, we had to bring in more specialized people. And we've been able to build that team to become quite a powerful team. The operational teams in this business, you know, they're really guys that know what they're doing. And that's pretty much what we try to do is, you know, we try not to get involved in things that we don't have the skills for. But sometimes we have to, you know, go and acquire some additional skills to really be able to take that next step.
And that operational team, is that in-house? This isn't you know, consultants or folks with, you know, fancy suits and the like. This is a team you've built up who can now move from project to project.
Yeah, we believe very strongly in building skills in-house. With all due respect to consultants, you know, they are there to sell their services, and they've got to look after their bottom line,
yeah,
which is not necessarily 100% aligned with your bottom line. So we prefer to build our own skills and only bring in consultants in very specific roles where it's more cost efficient to bring in a hired in skill than to have your own skill.
Yeah, I get that. And there's going to be that occasional sort of very niche skill which you might need to bring in. Your magnesium project, we spoke when you announced it, that's still not concluded. You're expecting it in a few months. Is that holdups with water or DMR?
Yeah, it's a manganese project in the Northern Cape, mm-hmm. And at the moment we are waiting for a water use license. And, you know, that is it is taking a little bit longer than we thought. So the approval for the transfer of the mining right has already been received, but now the only outstanding thing is the water use license, and as soon as that is unconditional, then we can get moving.
Mentioning water, the rains, which April, they weren't in this period under review. You've got some KZN, but my understanding is not that much. Was there much impact from that rain on you, or perhaps maybe on your customers downstream?
In KZN, not really. We have one of our quarries, one of the smaller quarries in Scottsboro near KZN, that was mm-hmm. flooded, but that was very, very small in the bigger scheme of things for us. But what was a bit more of an impact, the entire northern part of the country, that is Gauteng, Mpumalanga, KZN, all those areas, had a lot of rain days. And as we know, construction doesn't happen on rain days. So it did have an impact on the business, but these things tend to catch up very quickly. As soon as the sun starts shining, the contractors start catching up, and we're already seeing that. So So over the longer term, we don't expect much of an impact.
How many sites do you have countrywide? I ask because it suddenly occurs to me, I've been driving around in the last 6 months. I've been in Gauteng, I've been in the Free State, I've been in KZN, and I think on every trip I've seen an Aframat site.
Yeah, we actually have 45 active mining rights at the moment. And then there, if I'm not mistaken, I think we've got 65 sites if we include factories and ready-mixed businesses and that as well.
Diesel prices, we've seen the increase there, talk of about another 3 rand coming in June. How much does that impact your operations?
Yeah, the diesel cost is about 8% of our total cost, so it's not such a big impact for us.
Okay, that's not too bad. Last question: construction materials, which is kind of in a sense, I mean, it's certainly the old Aframat, and it's in some ways I still consider it the core of the business. Are you seeing much pickup? I mean, revenue is flat. There was a lot of talk around, you know, infrastructure spend and the like, but I don't know. I mean, I look at the construction company results, and I'm not seeing a lot coming out from them.
Yeah, you're right. We're not seeing a lot of activity. You know, the main drivers of construction spend is either road and civils or commercial building or residential building. And both commercial building and road and civils at the moment is relatively quiet. So it is thank heavens we diversified our business when we did. Because if it was only for construction materials, we would have been in trouble.
Yeah, you show a great slide in your presentation, the old construction business, Aframat. It's still making money, but pretty much the same money it was 15 years ago. Andries van Heerden, CEO of Aframat, appreciate the time today.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
I thought for Friday, the recent sell-off, I was going to say that it's not recent, it's still ongoing. Digging into it over the last couple of days, I mean, it's perhaps not as bad as it seems to really be feeling. Top 40 from the all-time highs, which in the top 40's case was a couple of months back, down just over 13%. S&P from those highs, almost 19% down. It's a little painful, but still not even close to what we saw in March of 2020. NASDAQ is where the pain is, down 28% so far from those highs, and I suspect maybe it depends, I suppose, how your portfolio is constructed. If you've got a lot of those once high-flying tech names, some of them have been obliterated. Netflix off 70%, that's year-to-date. PayPal 57% year-to-date. Tesla down 42%, Etsy down 64%, and locally it's NASPAS, it's Process, although also it's Aspen and Richemont. I'm wondering, you know, maybe it is the portfolio construction where a lot of folks were in those high-flyer techs, so it feels painful because they've come down so much. And then it depends when you got in. If you got in 5 years ago, you're still in good money, albeit it's been a painful couple of months. But I also think it's petrol and worries around that. Interest rate increases, inflation locally, globally. Heck, I mean, flagpoles, I suspect, as well. It's just, it feels to me that the sort of sense on Twitter and friends and colleagues is that we are getting obliterated, but I'm not sure the data necessarily stacks that up. And that's our question today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. How's your portfolio doing? Kind of doing all right, managing great, hurting badly, stopped looking. Hey, stopped looking is a viable option. In my case, my portfolio is doing all right. It's not shooting the lights out, but it's doing all right. And doing all right, of course, is still red because the market is well done. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Yesterday we were chatting the Tencent results with Ken and Yana, and I think it's on a 13 PE, and the question we put out was, can it retain its glory days in the year ahead? Kia was fighting words. He said Tencent is uninvestable. A tenth of you kind of agreed. So now look, it's X growth. Another tenth was saying too risky or didn't even like it. But two-thirds of you, which is a way bigger number than I thought, said, you know, maybe they can, but it's not going to be easy. As always, have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokhle, Nicole Tetetso, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday. We're going to be talking recession.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.